Okay, back over in Acts 16. This has been so relaxing to me. This has been so enjoyable. Every piece of this was just so enjoyable. I hope this is enjoyable tonight. That's what I hope this is. Really enjoyable. Paul and Silas, they've been traveling together. And verse 5 says, establishing the churches in the faith. So were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. And they're about to set out on a long trip. I mean a long trip. A very long journey. And we're about to see that it's for one very good reason. It's for a certain woman named Lydia. I titled this Lydia's Story. This is Lydia's story. It's a good one. Verse 6 says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia in the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. Now let me point out a few things about their travels. Verse 6 says they wanted to preach the word in Asia. And you've seen the map. Asia. But they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost. God forbid it. Isn't that something? Asia. God would not allow it. Verse 7 says they wanted to go into Bithynia. I looked at the map in the back of my Bible, and that is a region above Asia. But the Spirit of God would not allow it. He would not allow it. Every city where God has sent His gospel is such a privileged city. It really is. It is such a privileged city. He sends it to one, He withholds it from another. This gospel just doesn't go everywhere. Let me show you a verse of Scripture over in Amos chapter 4. In the back of the Old Testament, Amos chapter 4. It's after Joel, Hosea. It's before Jonah. Amos chapter 4. Look at verse 7. And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. I want to be where God's blessing is, don't you? I want to be where God's blessing is. The gospel is not in every place. He has caused His gospel to rain down in certain areas, and He has withheld it from other areas. And to be in a city where God's gospel, over in Deuteronomy 32, He called it my doctrine, my word, my spirit, it's going to drop as the rain on the tender herb. Showers upon the grass. What blessed grass we are. You know that all flesh is grass, don't you? What blessed grass we are. David said, I just wish I could be a doorkeeper in the Lord's house. I just hope to be a blade of grass in His kingdom. Would that not be wonderful? We are such blessed grass. Well, Paul and Silas and I believe Timothy and Luke, we saw last week they picked up Timothy, and Luke is the one who's penning all this. So those men, they traveled with God's message. God's message of good news. They were taking it around wherever the Lord would open a door. But God told them, pass by Asia. Pass by Bithynia. Pass it by. We just sang the song, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Pass me not. It's His to give. It's His to pass by. But let me show you the goodness of the Lord. When I saw this, I thought, now that's precious. That is precious. Our Lord has been so good to every nation, every kindred, every tribe, every tongue. Go with me over to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1, verse 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Is that not precious? In the Lord's time, He did send His gospel to Asia and Bithynia. He sent it to particular people. Maybe those people were young children at the time. They needed to grow up a little bit. Don't go there. But then He sent Peter, spreading the gospel to Asia and Bithynia. He's a merciful God. Well, back over to Acts 16. They went through all of those towns. And you've seen a map of the Middle East, I'm sure. Have you ever looked at the map in the back of your Bible? The Mediterranean Sea is kind of rectangular. And down here on the bottom is Jerusalem. And you have the Dead Sea and the Jordan River, and you come on up and there's Tyre and Sidon, and then you come on up and there's Antioch. There are two Antiochs. One is in Syria, one's in Pisidia. They're in Syria. And then you come on around the top of the Mediterranean Sea, and you have Derbe and Lystra and Iconium. And then the water starts fingering out like that, and you go up, and way up at the top is Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Colossae. This is Greece. And then it comes down to Corinth. And then there's another peninsula over here. That's Italy. You have Rome. My point is, it's a long way. It is a long way. If you got on I-40 in Charleston, South Carolina, and you walked I-40 from Charleston, South Carolina, straight across the United States to Los Angeles, California, you would walk 2,490 miles. All right, these men, they started at Antioch, and they went up through these places, and they wanted to go into Asia, and the Lord wouldn't allow it, and they wanted to go up into Bithynia, and the Lord wouldn't allow it, so they went to Troas and on up to Philippi, and then they made the rounds, seeing the churches that they had already been to, and came back down through Jerusalem and back to Antioch. And that was 2,703 miles. It was 214 miles longer than walking the United States. That's a long way. That is a long way. And the Lord allowed His gospel to be declared in a few towns along the way. Just a few towns. Derbe and Lystra and Iconium, they're pretty close together. It would be like saying, and they came from Kingsport and went unto Crossville. And from thence to College Grove. Particular places along the way. And God chose to send His grace in them. Well, the Lord sent them on purpose to Philippi. Look right here at Acts 16, verse 12 says, "And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither." The Lord led them to a small group of ladies who did not yet know the Lord. They didn't know God yet. They were meeting together, and they were praying together, and I believe they were very sincere in what they were doing. I really do. I believe that they had a very sincere heart for what they were doing. Most people in religion are very sincere. They really are. They really are very, very sincere. Sincere about what they do, believing it to be the right thing to do. They really do. But we cannot deny the fact that if God does not move, it's all ignorance. Every bit of it is ignorance. All of that worship, all that sincerity, no matter how sincere it is ignorance. It's total ignorance to who God really is. These women were down here worshiping, but they were not worshiping the true living God. It's ignorance of who man really is, and it's ignorance of what Christ did. Go with me over to John chapter 4. John 4, verse 5 says, "Then cometh our Lord to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink." Our Lord met a woman at a well. It's the same scenario. He came into a town, and there was a certain woman there, and He went and met this certain woman by the water, by this well. And He told her in verse 10, "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water." He's telling her who God really is. If you knew who this was standing here talking to you, you would be asking of me to give you something, something that you desperately need. Verse 11, "The woman saith unto Him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?" She answered Him sincerely. Very sincerely, in the only way that religion knows to answer. "You don't have anything to draw with. You have no hands but my hands. You need me. I'll do this for you. I'll do it for you." Verse 12 says, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Art thou greater than what has been passed down to us?" That's what everybody has. That's all everybody has, is what's been passed down to them. "Are you greater than our traditions? My father believed this. My grandfather believed this. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The gospel of the free blood of Jesus Christ. If a man ever receives that, there's not going to be any thirsting anymore. Anywhere. Religion will keep you thirsty. Religion will keep you searching. You know that? In religion, you'll keep searching and you'll keep searching. I thought I found it, but I didn't. And I'm looking for something else. And I'm looking for something else. Is anybody here looking for something else? You looking for something else? The law in religion, the law stays unsatisfied. You know that? All of our works stay unsatisfied. They're never finished. Our works are unsatisfied. God is unsatisfied, but the blood of Christ satisfies it all. It's just done. It's just done. Never thirst again. And then he said to her in verse 16, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. He told her who God really is. He told her what Christ really did. And now he's telling her why. He's telling her who man really is. He's saying to her, you are a much deeper sinner than you could ever imagine. I pray God will be merciful to some people that need to know they are not what they think they are. You are a much deeper sinner than you could ever imagine. Ever imagine. He told her in verse 22, you worship you know not what. And that was the case for Lydia and those women. And I believe that's the case for every single one of us. Everybody here. We all worshiped at some point. I grew up under the gospel. But I believe there was a time that I worshiped I knew not what. I didn't know why. You know, my parents made me go. I didn't have any choice. But I really didn't know why. The reason is because I didn't know who. That's the reason. And this is what Paul preached to these ladies. And I know it's what he preached because this is what every God-called preacher is called to preach. We preach Christ. We preach Him crucified. And what it means for sinners. What it means for us. All right, now put a marker right there if you want to. We're going to come back. Hold your place and go over to Acts 16. Acts 16, verse 13 says, And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. This certain woman, this chosen woman, this predestinated woman, and the reason I say that is because she was not from Philippi. Paul came into Philippi. There was a woman there. She was not from Philippi. She was from Thyatira. You know where that is? Asia. She was from Asia. Paul wanted to go preach the gospel in Asia. The Lord said, no, you're not going to Asia. Why? She's not in Asia. She's up in Philippi. She's 240 miles away up in Philippi. Why would God order it to be that way? Why would He order it to be that way? Why would He do things like that? Why would God move her 240 miles in the opposite direction of His preacher and then send Paul all the way over to Philippi to preach the gospel to her? Why would He do that? The reason is because our Lord purposed to raise up a church in Philippi, and she was the first member. That's the reason. Go over. This is precious. I love this. Go over to Philippians 1. Boy, the Lord works in mysterious ways, doesn't He? His wonders to perform. Philippians 1. Verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Sometimes I write letters to people. And I'll put a scripture at the bottom. I have listed this scripture so many times because I mean it. Philippians 1 verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. This is Paul and Timothy writing to those believers they met in Philippi. Verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day. That's where we are in our text tonight. We're at the first day. Until now, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you, that's where we are in our text tonight, Acts 16, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We're at the first day. I love that. Go back over to Acts 16. Verse 13 says, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, not a wearer of purple, an expensive cloth, a seller of purple. This was a woman who had to work, earn a living. I don't know if her husband died. I don't know what the situation was, but she had to work and earn a living. She was not privileged in this world. She was nothing in this world, absolutely nothing, but she was precious in the eyes of God Almighty. Very precious. The reason we know that is because Paul said, we preached the gospel to her and she heard us. She heard us. Verse 14 says, whose heart the Lord opened. Paul said she heard us. Now, I'm going to say this and try to teach this, but this cannot be taught. What I'm about to say cannot be taught. I wish it's so simple. It is so simple. If our girls were in here, our girls could understand this. But it cannot be taught. All we can do is just call on our Lord and beg for mercy. But this cannot be taught. The first thing that God opens is the ear. Faith comes by hearing. It's the ear. Some hear it. Some finally, you know, some people come and they sit for a while and they sit for a while and then they finally hear what you're saying. And they hate it. God opened the ear. I hear what you're saying now. All right, but some hear and they rejoice in it because they see it. God opens the ear and then God opens the eyes. And they see it. And I see what you're saying. That is what this word is saying. Brother Tony and I were talking to a man one day, and he made the statement. He said, anybody who reads the Word of God ought to be a Calvinist. I agree with that. 100%. He is absolutely right. That's what it says. God opens the ear, and then God opens the eyes. And some people, they do come to a knowledge of Calvinism. And they're sincere. I'm a Calvinist. But do you know when salvation is realized? You know when it's truly, truly realized? It's when God opens the heart. Does that make sense? Some people will come and they'll hear it. Some people will come and they'll see it. But salvation is realized when all of a sudden they fall in love with it. I love this. I love this. Something happens in the heart. David said, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee. My heart said this, thy face will I seek. I said it from the heart. The Lord opened her heart. And what the Lord opens, no man can shut. If God has opened my heart, I can't shut it. Isn't that good news? I can't shut it. Go with me back over to John 4. Our Lord told this woman at the well in verse 22, you worship you know not what. Verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit, right here in the heart, and in truth, right here in the Word. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. I'm He. Verse 28 says, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and they came to him. I've seen a man. You know, that's all I want to see here tonight. All I want all of us to do is come into this place and sit down here for, you know, Paul and Timothy and Silas and Luke, they all went down there and they sat down with the women. And I want to be the bride of Christ. I want us to come in and sit down in this place and I want us to see a man. That's all. Come see a man. That is salvation. I have seen a man. That's salvation. I've seen who he is. I've seen what he's done. And, you know, that's not me having my doctrine right is not the part I love. I love why he's who he is and why he's done what he's done. That's the lovely part. My heart has fallen in love with him. God opened her heart. God opened that woman at the well's heart. God opened Lydia's heart. I believe God has opened my heart. I believe He's opened your heart. Back over to Acts 16. We'll wrap this up. Acts 16, verse 14. Certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. and she constrained us. God had mercy on her house. God had mercy on her. He had mercy on her house. And they all confessed Christ out of love and thanks for opening their hearts. He opened all their hearts. And they all wanted to confess Christ. And she told those men, these men that God used to bring glad tidings of good things, the gospel of peace. She told them, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, what she's saying is, I'm not worthy of these things. Who is sufficient for these things? But I would love it if you would come into my house and stay there. Luke, he said at the end of verse 15, she constrained us. She constrained us. She demanded. She wasn't actually asking. She forced us. Preach them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. I got to hear this. Please come into my house and you stay right here. This is a dear lady with a wonderful story. And I'm looking forward to worshiping God with her. She's a precious lady. She's still alive. She's in glory with all the other saints. And she'll fill in some of the blanks one of these days. All right, let's stand together.